Well, good morning. And thank you again to the elders for this opportunity to open up God's word. I've been in China all week. And so, yes, Jerry, I am on Eastern time. However, I did forget that I was speaking this morning. So thank God for my beautiful wife for bringing a suit and tie here and my speaking notes. I thought it was this evening, but I'm glad to speak this morning. This is a good passage for this morning. So turn, if you would, in your Bibles. Gary's thinking about that now. Yeah. It's born in China time. Well, turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Psalm 55. Psalm 55. Well, I absolutely love the Psalms while you're turning there. And I particularly love Psalm 55. For a while there, I was putting an asterisk by all of my favorite Psalms in my study Bible. However, I ended up with so many asterisks that I had to put a second asterisk by Psalm 55, brothers and sisters. Psalm 55 is a double asterisk psalm, and I hope you'll agree. Well, Mom gave me Timothy Keller's daily devotional last year for Christmas 2015, The Songs of Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful title? The Songs of Jesus, 150 Psalms. Do you remember giving me this? Yes, okay. 150 Psalms in 365 days. And I'm a little past the allotted 365 days, but I'm still reading it. Praise God. And I love what he writes in the brief introduction to the book. This is Tim Keller. And I quote, "Most of the Psalms read in the light of the entire Bible bring us to Jesus. The Psalms, read in the light of the entire Bible, bring us to Jesus." Does that sound right to anyone today? The Psalms bring us to Jesus. Does that ring true for anyone here this morning? The Psalms bring us right to the throne of our King. Praise God, right to the feet of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, amen. Psalm 55. Well, usually I would read the entire psalm, but this is a very long one. Usually I would read the entire psalm, but today I just want to read one verse, verse 22, and this is a familiar one to many of you. Verse 22, let's pray that this one verse, verse 22 in Psalm 55, read in the light of the entire Bible, will bring us to Jesus this morning. Psalm 55 and verse 22. "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." But the NIV says, I love the NIV translation, "Cast your cares," verse 22, "cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you, and he will never let the righteous be shaken." Let's pray. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, there are many cares and burdens among your children here this morning. Teach us today how to cast our cares upon you. And bring us, Lord, this morning to your Son through your word. And it's in Christ's precious name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, does anyone have any cares or burdens this morning? Any burdens? Any fears, anxieties, worries, concerns this morning? Anyone have one of those today, or maybe a few of those? I often read the chapel prayer list, and we heard some of the chapel prayer list. Greg recited some of the chapel prayer list, and I think to myself, Brooks, that's me, Brooks, your measly burdens, your stuff, you've got it so easy. Not a care in the world, Brooks, you, me, I have nothing to worry about, nothing to worry about. But the reality, church, you know the reality? Sometimes, maybe most of the time, I feel like one big wound up, knotted up ball of anxiety. Each passing year, it seems like you get more and more and more to be concerned about. And now that I'm a Christian, I seem to care about so much more. It's not like before I was saved, and all I cared about was the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. And of course, even then, that seemed like a big burden to bear at that time. But now, as a believer, especially with kids, I can't even remember the things I worried about before kids. I can't even remember the things I worried about before kids. Always wondered how someone like Mrs. Brooks makes it through the day. How do you make it through the day, Mrs. Brooks, with all those kids and grandkids and great-great-grandkids, okay? That's right. All those kids and great-grandkids to worry about. I was talking to Mrs. Brooks the other day, and she was telling me how she prays for all of her great-grandchildren. Do you remember this? I remember this. How many are there? Okay, she's working on her 22nd here. Okay, well, this is a very long prayer here. Let me tell you, this is a very long prayer. Well, I just love my kids. I just love my kids, Jack and Lily, so much. I wish they were here to listen to this. Maybe they're listening up in Sunday school. I just love my kids so much, and I just don't want one bad thing to happen to them. And I just want to set them off on the right path and the right direction and keep them safe and happy and healthy. Any other parents or grandparents feel the same way? Well, as hard as we may try, life sometimes gets in the way, doesn't it? Doesn't it? What's like the first time and the last time, by the way, the first time and the last time I took the kids sledding on Cemetery Hill in West Long Branch. Some of you have been on Cemetery Hill in West Long Branch, I can tell. It's real close to the Cags, and the Cags aren't here today. So, by the way, thank you to Ben Cag. He's not here this morning, I don't think, for giving me this recommendation. Anyway, we get out of the minivan right there at the Aldi grocery store, trudge up that steep hill. If you've been there, you can picture it, the steep hill, and sit Jack and Lily right there in the sled together, and they're smiling ear to ear. They're smiling. So I get down behind them, and I aim the sled straight down the hill and shove them off, and I hear these joyous shrieks of glee. Does anybody know where this is going? I'll keep with the story here. I'll keep going with the story. I hear these joyous shrieks of glee as they're going straight down the hill. What a good, good father I am, I'm thinking to myself as they're headed straight down that hill. But then, all of a sudden, they take this Have you heard this story, Mom? You have heard this story. All right. They take this sharp right turn. I don't know how in the world this happened. It doesn't seem possible. But they're headed right for this big gravestone. It is called Cemetery Hill for a reason. Lord, let them miss that gravestone. But, of course, they hit it straight on, and I'm running right down the hill, and I hear the crying, and I see the bloody lips. And I get this horrified, what were you thinking? Look, the what were you thinking look from this concerned mom that had rushed over to help. And I'm getting some of the same looks from you this morning. I can see the looks here. The what were you thinking? Why'd you do that, Dad? Lily asked me, why'd you do that? And Heather may have asked me a similar question that afternoon when The kids ratted me out. Why did I do that? Cemetery Hill. Cemetery Hill. Has anyone been on that hill? You know, I think about today. I think about today a lot, and I think about the future, and I try to steer everything in the right path, in the right direction, and I think about every right turn that I should have gone left or straight, and the weight. Right here on the shoulders, it just feels so heavy. But the psalm commands, cast your cares on the Lord. Cast your cares on the Lord. Go ahead and cast them this morning. Cast your cares upon the Lord. I remember one time when I was feeling really weighed down. Maybe Dr. Locke remembers this. I was feeling really weighed down by something, probably the kids or work. I can't even remember what it was now. It's been a while, but I asked Dr. Locke about this command. Do you remember this? No, okay. I remember it. Well, you know his response? I asked him about this command. You know his response? Brooks, he said, now listen closely to this because this is profound. Brooks, he said, it's easier said than done. Do you remember this now? It's easier said than done. And he, Dr. Locke, is a casting pro. He's a casting pro. I know he knows how to cast. He's been casting for a long time. Cast your cares upon the Lord. And I know that there's a number of pros here because I've seen you cast. I have seen you casting. Mrs. Brooks is a casting pro. I can tell. I have seen you casting. Many of you would not be here today if you did not know how to cast your cares upon the Lord because you've been through so much heartache. And I can see the pain in your faces this morning. Brothers and sisters, how did you make it through? So many of you, the wounds are so deep. And my heart just bursts. How did you make it through? How did you do it? How did you do it? How did you do it? You learn to cast. You learn to cast. You cast those cares on the Lord, and he sustained you. He did not let the righteous be shaken. You're casting pros. Praise God. Some of you today, you're casting pros. You are casting pros, some of you today. Well, not me. not me. Definitely not me. When it comes to casting, it's amateur hour right up here. When it comes to casting, it's amateur hour. Anyone else feel like a rookie in this department, just starting to learn? It's like one summer when Jack was five. I got one more story here, one more story if you'll indulge. One summer when Jack was five, I promise this one has a happy ending, by the way. It has a happy ending. One summer when Jack was five, we took the kids to the Outer Banks, and I remember somehow I got the notion that I needed to teach Jack how to fish. Who's laughing there? All right. Well, I never actually learned how to fish myself. Maybe that's why he's laughing. Has he seen me fish here? But I felt this strong sense that it was only right that a father would teach his son how to fish. My father didn't teach me how to fish, but it's only right that a father would teach his son how to fish. So I take Jack to the pier and we rent this rod and reel. And the guy behind the counter, I remember his face to this day, he pulls out this big old bag of shrimp bait. And I love shrimp, all kinds of shrimp. And I'm no fish, but those shrimp sure look delicious. So we get out there on the pier, and I pull this big old shrimp and put it on the hook, and we kind of, the whole shrimp, by the way, I think you're supposed to cut the shrimp. Now I know this, but I put a whole big shrimp on the hook, and we kind of drop the line. Who's a fisherman in here? Somebody's got to be a fisherman. We just sort of drop the line into the ocean next to the pilings. Is that how you're supposed to do it? And I'm teaching Jack to reel the line back in. And lo and behold, there's no shrimp on the hook. Greg's a fisherman. There's no shrimp on the hook. And there's no fish on the hook, by the way, either. So I look around and up and down the pier, and I see all these real fishermen making these beautiful, sweeping, casting motions. And I put another shrimp on the hook. Now watch closely, Jack. And I make this beautiful casting motion, and I get the shrimp out about 30 feet, which seemed far at the time, and I hand the rod to Jack. Okay, just reel it in real nice and slowly. Well, just like that, the line goes taut. Anyone have that feeling? True story. And the rod starts to bend down. We've caught the big one, Jack. We have caught the big one. Don't fight it. Be patient. Let her tire itself out. That sounds like a fatherman fisherman. Just reel it back in slowly. And so Jack starts reeling. And you fishermen know that glorious sight when the fish leaps out of the water. All 5 inches of that fish. All 5 inches. Of that fish, our first catch, me teaching my only son how to fish. So we get the fish off, and I put another shrimp on the hook. Watch this, Jack. I reach back every muscle I have, and I fling that shrimp way out there this time, crossing over about 4 or 5 lines on the pier. And I just look at that tangled mess that I made, and I cut the line, and I made a beeline to the pro shop with my son, asking Christian forgiveness. And as we're leaving the pier, I asked Jack, wasn't that fun, learning how to cast? And here's the happy ending. Wasn't that fun, learning how to cast? He says, great, Dad. Thanks for teaching me. Thanks for the casting lessons, Dad. Thank you for the casting lessons. Casting lessons. Casting lessons. Does anyone need some casting lessons this morning? Casting lessons. Brothers and sisters, the lessons, they're right here in this book in front of you. They're right here in this book. And so let's turn over to 1 Peter. Let's turn over to 1 Peter. And I'm learning right here with you, believe me. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll read verse 6 and 7. First Peter chapter 5, starting at verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. How's that for a casting lesson? Verse 6, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. 2 verses. 3 lessons, 3 casting lessons, and we'll start with the first one. First lesson, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Does anyone else find this one difficult? This lesson? I remember a friend emailed me this very verse not long after I was fired from a job 6 years ago. And I remember thinking, thanks, but no thanks. Thanks, but no thanks. Humble myself. I'm pretty sure I'm already low enough. You have humbled me, Lord. I am humbled. You've humbled me. Is that where you want me? I'm humbled. Thanks, Lord, but no thanks. Anyone ever felt that way? Anyone else ever felt that way? Well, turn to Luke 7. Turn over to Luke 7. We'll come back to 1 Peter in a second. Keep your thumb there. Luke 7. This story really helped me. What it means to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Luke 7 and verse 36. We'll read a couple verses here. Luke 7 and verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house, and he sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Well, I'll stop there. But something about this story, you know, it just goes straight to the heart. It's so raw. The physicality, her hair, the tears, washing Jesus' feet, humbling herself at the feet of Jesus. And it's not just some spiritual humbling. This is not just a spiritual humbling. It's physical. She is bent down physically on her knees, and the tears are flowing. So I've been practicing it. And Joey taught us this a few weeks ago and asked us to do this at morning meeting. I've been practicing this. And it's humbling because my knees start to creak already and squeak and creak. Bent knees, bowed down. Lord, I humble myself under thy mighty hand. I'm weak, and I can no longer do this on my own. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Well, it's not like God is checking some box. And good Brooks, we've got him down on the ground now. And I believe we can help him now. And it may not work for everyone. But we're humans. We're humans like this woman in the story. And the physical act of getting on our knees and bowing before our Lord, it triggers something. Something's triggered. Something triggered right now here. It gets us rightly ordered to our Creator God. Someone once told me the way up is down. Have you heard that? Knees bent, it helps me. The perspective changes. I stop demanding and I start worshiping. The way up is down. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Three lessons. First, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Second lesson, cast all your care upon him. Cast all, not some, not a few, but cast all your cares upon him. Now, I really struggle here. Anyone else struggle on this one? And I struggle with three things in this second lesson, listen carefully. First struggle. I often think, does anyone else think this way? I often think that God doesn't want to hear about my petty cares. Maybe God deals with the big stuff. God deals with the big stuff, but he doesn't want to deal with the little stuff. It's like work. The big problems, you escalate to the boss. Who escalates to the boss here? All right, we escalate to the boss. Little problems, well, the boss doesn't need to know. I think I can handle those myself. Does that sound right to anyone? Well, you find me. You find me where it says in the Bible that God only wants to deal with the big stuff. If it does, someone tell me afterwards. Someone tell me afterwards, but I haven't found it. God wants to deal with all of our stuff, big stuff and little stuff. Second struggle. Secondly, see if this rings true for anyone else. I'm honestly ashamed about some of my cares. I'm ashamed about some of my cares. And I certainly don't want to cast those cares to God. Won't he just kick them back? Rejected. For example, and I may be speaking to some of you men out here. For example, I have this unquenchable inner desire. Now you're wondering what I'm going to say here. I have this unquenchable inner desire for my son to excel in sports. I want him to be a superstar athlete. Doesn't really matter the sport, ping pong, polo, pole vaulting, horseshoes, tiddlywinks, something, anything. Tiddlywinks is not a sport. I know that. Tiddlywinks is not a sport. But anyway, I watched Jack play rec soccer, and some of you have watched Jack play rec soccer, and he can't see out of his right eye, so he can't see the ball coming at him. I don't know how it really works. So he usually stands in one spot away from all the action. And he puts his arm up like this, you know, near his face, bless his heart. And I hear parents, believe it or not, on the sideline from the other team laughing at him. And I just feel this incredible desire for Jack just to take the ball and dribble around in circles for 5 minutes and around the whole team and score 3 goals all at once. And I am ashamed by the pride. And God doesn't need to know how prideful I am, does he? Does he? Is anyone else holding back something from our Lord and Savior? Is anybody holding something back, bottling it up? All means all, brothers and sisters. That's lesson two. All means all. Three lessons. Actually, I have one more struggle with this lesson. And this is the most hellacious of them all. This is the most hellacious of them all because I see my cares and I compare them to other people's cares and I say, I'm not casting my cares. What if I get something worse in return? What if I get something worse in their place? Has anyone ever done that? Remember the old saying, better the devil that you know? Anyone ever heard that hellacious saying, better the devil you know, exchanging that delicious shrimp for that scrawny fishbowl-looking fish? Any game show fans? I will take my cares for a dollar, Bob. I'll take my cares. Well, I love the word cast. Listen to this carefully. I love the word cast because it's not the same as drop your cares, and it's not the same as throw out your cares. Casting has the idea of getting something in return. When you cast, you get something in return. And it's not some scrawny fishbowl fish here that you get in return. Remember Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we have humbled ourselves at Jesus' feet and start casting our heavy burdens on him, what do we get in return? Rest. Rest. Rest for our souls. Rest for our souls. Doesn't that feel good? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Three casting lessons. First lesson, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Second lesson, cast all your care upon him. Third and finally, be exalted in due time. Be exalted in due time. Be exalted in due time. And you know what? I actually find this lesson the most challenging of all. Does that sound a little strange? Be exalted in due time. I find this lesson extraordinarily challenging. That may sound a little strange, because when I think about being exalted, I think about receiving praise and recognition and reward. I think about receiving praise, recognition, and reward, like getting some promotion or raise at work. And I am not good with receiving good things in my life. I'm not. And I'm getting some more strange looks here. Maybe if I got a raise a little more often, I would feel better about it at work. I'm no good at receiving good things in my life because, listen, no sooner do I receive them, then I start looking around, and I start looking around and wondering, what did everybody else get? What did everybody else get? What did Leroy get? Leroy must have gotten a little bit more than I got, because I'm still driving the minivan with the fossilized fries on the floorboard. Someone else has fossilized fries on the floorboard, I can tell. Pride is so pernicious. Have I said that already this morning? Pride is so pernicious, and it chases you, and it chases you, and it chases you. And I know there's no sin in heaven. There is no sin in heaven, for the record. There is no sin in heaven, so it can't possibly work this way. But when I think about exaltation sometimes, I think about that day in due time when we will receive our crowns, as the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy. Listen, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." And then also in James chapter 1 and verse 12, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Crowns of life, crowns of righteousness. These are the rewards promised by the Lord to believers at the judgment seat of Christ, to those who love him, to those who endured temptation, to those who have lived righteously, to those who have lived for Jesus, to those who have walked with him in the face of trials and burdens and anxieties and cares, loving him. These are crowns, crowns. Now, pride is sin. Pride is sin, and I know it, and I know there will be no more sin in heaven. But good gravy, when I think about exaltation sometimes, I think about the day when we receive our crowns, and I look over to my left, and then I look over to my right, and everyone else has all these crowns. And Heather has, where's Heather? Heather has 10 times the number of crowns that I have. She has 100 times the crowns that I have. She can hardly carry all those crowns. And believe me, she deserves all those crowns. Heather, if you're listening up there, you deserve all the crowns for putting up with me. But Lord, don't I deserve just a few more of those crowns too? Just one more, Lord. One more crown. Heather, maybe you'll share one of your crowns. If I ask real nice, I can help you carry your crowns, honey. Well, praise God for his word. We know it doesn't actually happen this way. It doesn't actually happen this way. Oh, yes, we do receive those crowns on that day. Yes, you do, and you do, and we do. But you know what we do with them? You know what we do with those crowns? Do you know what we do with those crowns? We don't stack them up or pack them up or line them up or shine them up or count them up or mount them up or hold them up or load them up for all the world to see. You know what we do with those crowns? We cast them upon the Lord. We cast them. We cast them upon the Lord. Turn to Revelation chapter 4. Chapter 4, and we'll close with this. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 9. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 9, and we'll read a couple verses. We'll close with this. Chapter 4 and verse 9. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. Verse 10. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Amen. Well, we fall down before him and worship him and cast our crowns before his throne, casting lessons. Does anyone need casting lessons today? You're going to need the practice. You're going to need that practice because soon and very soon, as Stedmore says, soon and very soon, I think the song says that too. Soon and very soon, brothers and sisters, we'll be casting our crowns right before his throne, falling down before him, worshiping our Lord and Savior. We have some casting pros right in this room today, and they know. Ask them. Exaltation isn't about receiving our crowns. Exaltation isn't about receiving our crowns. It's not receiving our crowns. Exaltation is humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, falling down at his throne and casting all of our care upon him, all of our care upon him. Are you ready to exchange the worry and anxiety and burdens of this life for a crown? Well, you better start practicing your casting today. Let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look forward to that day of exaltation when we can humble ourselves under your mighty hand at the foot of your throne and start casting. But you know, that day you've taught us right here in your word, that day of exaltation, Lord, can be today. It can be today. Holy Father, Abba Father, thank you that we are your children. Thanks for the casting lessons, Dad. thank you for the casting lessons, and we pray this in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen.